I'm also from Hill Africa. No. Okay, I'm trying to heal Africa so we can all be from Hill Africa in some way. And I'm also from Nairobi somehow, because we've all been watching the news from there. I'm also from the UK because all of us have been watching things from the UK. We are an international church, so we are from everywhere. So feel welcome as we come to this place. How many people feel that this week has been 3 weeks in one? Some people feel like me, like this has been a very long week because of all the news coming from all the places. We are glad to be in the presence of God this morning to discuss the Word of God. And I can assure you today the topic is the burden of the kingdom. And this topic was chosen before Thursday. Okay, not before the Queen died. So the kingdom part was not inspired by the news in the UK. I have William and Pastor Badesira who can testify to that. So we want to talk today and next week on the kingdom and building the kingdom. Today we'll talk about the burden for the kingdom, and next week we'll be discussing how you can participate in that endeavor to build a great kingdom for our God. And I'm sure God is going to bless us greatly. A burden, as some of you know, is something you carry. A burden is a load. It's something that is heavy on your shoulder, on your head, on your back, depending on where you come from, or in your hand. In our village, women carry things on the back, and the men carry on their head. And there is a saying in my mother tongue, that what you cannot be able to carry, you pull it. So you pull it down and drag it to where it needs supposed to go. So we all have experience having burdens. Some of us have traveled with kids, and all of them have luggages. And you have to go through a taxi stop or an airport, and you know the complications of having a burden or having something to carry. There is also a burden that is a passion for something that you want to see happen. Something that you cry day and night to see happen in the world. It is also a burden. And if there is one person in the Bible whom we can say exemplifies carrying a burden, I think that person is Paul, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was so much burdened for building the church that it almost killed him eventually. But it was such a burden that you see it in all his writings and everywhere you encounter him. So turn with me in the book of Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 1 to 5. And I'm going to do some explanation, and then we're going to look at three things we can learn today regarding our burdens for building the kingdom. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. I'm reading from the Africa Study Bible. I think the version is NLT or something. The Bible says, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea, and for many others believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have a complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lies hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong. That's the word of God. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians, but Paul never visited Colossians by the time he wrote this letter. He actually didn't even start the church of the Colossians. It was his friend Epaphras who had started this church and now was visiting Paul in the prison and started telling him about how this church was faring and all the wonderful things that were happening and also all the dangers that he was seeing with false prophets coming around to sway people and start taking them astray. So Paul hears this story about this wonderful, vibrant church that is coming up and all these challenges that it's facing. He decides to sit down and write a letter to the people that he has never seen, but he has only heard about their faith. Amen. How many of you can be burdened for people you've never seen, but you've only heard about what they're doing, about their faith, and you feel so burdened that you write a whole book to encourage them? Hello? We are burdened for Africa, isn't it? We are burdened for the DRC, for our countries. But Paul was so much burdened, and when he heard this from Epaphras, he said, I need to encourage these brothers. And if you look at some of the best descriptions of Jesus Christ, I find in the book of Colossians, especially chapter 1, where Paul is trying to describe Jesus as the supreme, as the invisible image of God, as the incarnation of the invisible God. So you can, if you read the book of Colossians, you will see his passion jumping out from the text. As you look at Colossians, he says, I want you to know how much I agonize for you and for the church. Can you imagine being passionate at the level of agony? Paul was able to, he was passionate until he could agonize over this. And he encouraged them, and all this was to tell them, I want your faith to be strong. Now imagine you guys are outside of the prison, you have freedom to do business, to do other things, but someone who is in prison because of the gospel is writing you a letter to encourage you. Can you imagine going to the sick, and I think it has happened to a number of us, you go to visit someone who is mourning or they are sick, and when you find them, they encourage you in a way that you're like, wow, I am the one who is healthy, but I need encouragement from this person who is suffering. I've had the privilege to travel to some of the most remote places in our continent. And sometimes you get there, you see the abject poverty, you see all the things that are going on. But when you see the joy and the encouragement, the words that they have, you wonder, wow, am I the one who is supposed to be encouraged, or am I the one to give the encouragement? Paul is doing that by showing these people, I am in prison, but this is a joy for me to be here because I have a burden for this church. So Paul is really a person with a burden. So what is it? What are the things that we can learn in our century, in our time, if we want to build the kingdom and if we want to express our burden and our joy for the kingdom? There are three things that I want to share with you that we need to know. Number one is that a burden is a gift from God. A burden is a gift that God gives you so that through that burden he may be able to reach many people. We many times see a burden as something, a load that we carry. But I want us as we go out today to know that every time God gives you a burden for a people, for a sector, for anything, know that that is a gift that God has given you. Because through that gift, you are going to find your fullest expression, the reason why God created you and your place, as we were singing, I walk in power because I know who I am. Part of knowing who you are is discovering the burden you carry and the people to which you carry it. Paul had a burden for the kingdom and for the church, and his people were the Gentiles, the people who were outside the inheritance of the Israelites. What is your burden? What is that passion that God has given you that you can't take away? And what are that people to which you carry that burden? So for every burden, if you discover it and for it to be a gift, you need to declare those twofold things. One is the burden, and another one is the people to which you have the burden. Have you discovered that passion that you have, and have you known which people that passion should go to? We've heard stories of people being burdened so much about their immediate family, and they do wonders. When I'm speaking about burdens, I'm not just talking about being a missionary going, you know, to places. I will not say a name of a country because we are from 17 places, some nationalities. Someone may think I'm thinking they are remote. But for a burden for a people, let's say Congo, because I'm a Congolese. You have a burden for the Congolese. You need to know what is it that God is telling you every day about this nation. And you need to know which people God has sent you to. Those two things will help you discover this wonderful gift of a burden that God has given you. The way you discover your burden is that passion that you have and you won't sleep. It may start as small, but it will build up to something, and you say, someone needs to do something about this. That's how it starts. It doesn't start that by saying, I want to do something about this. You see it first, but you say, someone should build this road, and you pass. The next day, someone should build here. Someone should do this. Finally, you discover that someone is you. Hello? Are there areas where you are saying someone should do this? Someone should help these children. Someone should arrange this church. Someone should put order. Like this morning, we had some challenges with the sound. I know some people are saying someone should fix this thing. The arrangement of the church. You are coming here and you look at how the chairs are. You are saying someone should do this. Every time you see a limitation someplace, it's an indication that your burden might be in that area. What are those places where you are saying someone should do this? And is God telling you that you need to build a kingdom? And Paul presents a paradox of this, but that to walk through human vessels, his capacity to act is limited by the capacity of the human vessel that he will need to walk through. God is all powerful. He can do anything. But he has limited himself by choosing to walk through people. So sometimes he can do some things in 1 second, but the vessel needs 20 years for training and for meandering into the life. And God patiently endures until that vessel is ready so he can be able to act. Let me show you. If you look in the book of Genesis, when God created, all he needed to do was to speak because he was alone. There was no medium between him and what he created. What he needed to say, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be this, let there be this. But when he decided, okay, let's make man in our own image and make him a co-creator with us, God himself limited himself by allowing man to be his vessel of action. So God in this church is limited by our capacity to allow him to walk through us. God in your organization, in your country, in this continent, in this world, in our generation, can do everything, but he is limited by the capacities of the vessels that he needs to use. So if we want to see God more, if we want to see God act, if we want to see God change the world, what we need is to increase the capacity of the vessels through which God will walk. It's to enlarge the hands of the people. It's to spread the reach of our organizations. Because God is not limited, but it's the medium through which he will need to go through that is limited. The electricity we have here can travel from here to Japan, but if there are no wires, it will stop where the wires stop. The connections we have, they are all limited by the vessels, by the device through which they go. So I want you to think about this very deeply. In what ways you as a vessel, you have limited God? That's a very dangerous thought, isn't it? We can limit God as a people. We have a burden for a people. God is able to solve that burden in our lifetime. But are we ready? We may say we don't have the resources, but you know, in terms of resources, God is not limited. But he has chosen to walk through man, and that limits him. Number three. Number one, we said that the burden is a gift. Number two, we said God is limited because it's limited by the capacity of the vessel. Number three, God only asks us what he knows he has given us. God only asks us what he knows. What he knows he has given us, not what we know we have received. What he knows. So if God tells you to do something, most of us react like Moses, like Gideon's, like all the others. We look in our pockets and we see we have zero money or zero capacity, zero influence. And like, God, I think this is not the right person. Please dial another number. And God is like, yes, this is the correct number. Like, the person you are calling is not in the coverage area. Please call again later. It sounds like I'm the one who recorded that. Huh? Anyways, God, when God calls you for something, he knows he has that capacity, even when you don't know. Because God is not limited in time. What you are going to be 5 years now, God can see it, but you cannot. So when he calls you a mighty warrior, because he knows you will be, don't look around you and say, okay, how do I get there? He calls you in your name of the future. Because that's the capacity that he built in you. What is it that God has called you to do? And you're looking in your hands and saying, no, this is not for me. This has happened to me and is still happening to me now. Every time when I see the things, the burdens that God has placed on my heart, I'm like, there is no way this can be my message. What if it is? Just what if? What if in his infinite knowledge and capacity, that message is right for you? Even when it's so powerful that you're like, no, this has to be a super person who will do this. What if? Just put that, what if God is right, that you are the person to carry that burden? A burden for the kingdom. We have all passions. Don't say I have no passion. This is a Baptist church. I heard a joke that there are some Baptists in the U.S. they call the chosen frozen. They are chosen but frozen. You know, there's no passion. Passionlessly, you sing a song, they just, God sent his son. So they are chosen but frozen. We are not chosen frozen. We have passion. But it's only that passion has not found expression. I have a brother who doesn't say anything until you just mention politics. The person can jump on chairs and be like, what? Where are you from? But if you switch the topic, talk about football, frozen. Talk about cars, the person is frozen. He cannot even contribute. But as every time you mention politics, the person lights up and start arguing, they can even fight. Some of you, we know your buttons. In the church, you are this way, but let's talk about cuisine, cooking food, and you can teach all of us. So we are all passionate. It's only that passion has not found expression. So what I'm suggesting you as we carry the burden for the kingdom is three things. Just as Paul, let's redirect our passion to where God is calling us. Let's know that the passion is a gift. The burden is a gift that God has given us. Let us know that God is limited. And my capacity to handle his intervention is the limit. If I blow that lead on that capacity, God can do amazing things through a vessel that is cracked, a vessel that is weak. And finally, when God calls you, he knows what he has placed in you. And he knows the resources he has placed around the way. He knows the people he has placed to help you. Because God reveals to us only a part of the burden. Because another part of the burden will be carried by other people. Hello? So carry your part and trust God to incite other people. God can give you a burden, but he doesn't give you the money. He gives the money to someone else. The problem is that we want to have the burden and the money so that we manage the burden. But the humility of the working in the kingdom is that you carry your part of the burden and trust that God will bring the others. So, God bless you. Thank you very much. Next week, we'll be talking about Nehemiah, chapter 1 through chapter 3. We will carry this on the burden, but looking now how we can build, how we can now go out and do things. So today was to charge you up and get you mad. I hope I've succeeded. And next week, we will look at now, how do we channel this burden? What do we do, 1, 2, 3 things to be able to do things? So God bless you and have a wonderful week.